Just for the audience, tutoring is a $200 billion industry. This is not a small market cap. This is a massive, it's expected to grow over $200 billion by 2026. If you just talk about child enrichment, you're looking at, you know, $23, $24 billion. Tutoring's big. Welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Hal Lam, founder of Best in Class. Today, we're discussing Hal's inspiring story from refugee to entrepreneur, why parents in the U.S. are frustrated with the education system, what sets Best in Class apart from the competition, and his lofty goal he calls double-double, doubling distribution channel and doubling sales. We hope you enjoy the show, and please follow us as we drop new episodes each week on Wednesdays. All opinions expressed by Cliff, Justin, and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Phrenosity and Pursuit of Profit. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions.
What's the morning routine? What are we, sunlight in the eyes, cold plunge? What are we doing?
A couple of things. So it's a 10-minute meditation in the morning, and then go to ChatGPT and read one book summary.
Wow. Read one book summary.
That's interesting.
Yes. So I randomly pick a book. Sometimes there's a book, and I have at least a book. So I just pop it in and read a book summary every morning. Just like this. Sometimes I don't have time to read all the book. I just read a book summary, and then I add ChatGPT to give me a one-page summary and a key takeaway and a one-sentence book summary.
Do you like ask that. Chat to recommend the book, or do you give it the book?
Sometimes I ask them to recommend a book. Sometimes I just pick a book, right? So for example, in the last few days, I read The Deep Work, B2.0 by Jim Collins.
Cal Newport, Deep Work.
Yeah. And then How Will You Measure Your Life? It's a combination of different things. So it's fascinating. Just give me a one-page summary, read, and then key takeaway. Could be 5-10 points. And then give me a one sentence summary of the book. It takes about 5 minutes, and then that's it.
Give us some book recommendations.
The one thing is my go-to book. I love it because we are entrepreneurs. We are so busy. We have 20, 30 things that we need to do every day.
Yep.
And when I log out, I have 6 every day. I always have more items on my to-do list.
Yep.
But the one thing is, what is the one thing that you do today? And by completing it, the rest become less relevant, right? So if I have 5 things, if I only have time to do one, what would that be? As an entrepreneur and a business owner, right? Sales, 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 right? So the first thing is to help franchisee the sale or me selling more franchise, right? So it's a combination of selling more franchise and then helping franchisee grow the business. So the one thing helped me stay laser focused.
Is that the number one goal right now for Hal in Best in Class Education to expand the distribution channel? Is that the focus?
Yeah. So last December, about a year ago, so we went on a cruise with a leadership team. We set a goal is double-double. In the next 3 to 5 years, we want to double the number of locations, meaning hitting 100 locations. We have 40 plus right now. We're getting to 50. And then the second double is, you know, double the 2023 revenue in 3 to 5 years. And then after that, we do another double with the same time frame. So stay laser focused on anything else is a distraction, right? There's no shiny object. Every project that we do, are we helping franchisee grow revenue? Are we helping ourselves selling more franchise? Stay laser focused. And a couple of books I recommend is like Automatic Habit is a good
Atomic Habits, James Clear.
Routine set you free, right? So you have the routine, have the habit. It makes a huge difference.
Man, I love James Clear. I love
that guy. That guy's going to sell like a billion of those books. I like Atomic Habits.
What did I read recently?
Awareness by Anthony DeMello was an excellent. I'm turning around to my bookshelf. Think and Grow Rich is back there.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, we're off to a good start. Anything that you want to make sure we talk about today, how to make this productive for you and your brand?
Yeah, anything and everything. I'm here to share my experience. I've been in franchising for 30 years. on both sides, right? I started out with a licensee on the other side of the table. Now I'm a franchisor since 2011. I'm very happy to be here. I used to own one location and then expand to 11 locations. Franchise owner and become a franchisor. Now I don't own anything because I sold my last location in January so that I can stay laser focused on growing the franchise side.
Your story is inspiring and I want to get to all of it. I want to make sure we come back to it. But I want to start with education. You're hearing a lot about education. I feel like everyone that I talk to that has kids is talking about how they feel about education. There are a few things that I can think of that are as important as education. I mean, it's the backbone of a functioning society. And in the US, our public education system seems to be struggling, but parents overall seem to be dissatisfied with education. And in my research, so I was looking up some stats, by spring of last year, only 56% of fourth graders were performing at grade level in math, which is down from 69% pre-pandemic in 2019, yep. Which still doesn't seem great to me. Only 69% of our youth is able to perform at grade level. Approximately 51% of US adults believe that public K-12 education system is headed in the wrong direction. Only 16% believe that it's headed in the right direction. This is our future. What's exactly. More important than this? So give us your opinion. Is education broken? What's happening?
I think it's a combination of everything, right? It's a class size, right? First of all, it is 25 to 30 kids, depending on where you're at. And because the teacher have to take care of so many kids in the classroom, and then you have a third, like every system, right? A third of students are every student, and a third of the student are need a little bit of help, and a third of student are maybe a little bit above average. So in the mix, it was hard to get everybody to be on the right levels. A lot of the time, because of the class size, the teacher tend to help the student who are a little bit behind and struggle. So the student in the average or the student who are above average do not have an opportunity, right? So that's why best in class come in. We are able to do, customized individual tutoring, right? You look at the math, like you said, we are only 50% of the students are at their grade level. How are they going to apply for college, right? You're no more SAT, right? So they abandoned the SAT. Now the SAT came back, right? It's a digital SAT. You need SAT to apply for college, right? It's one of the exams that most of the university require. So SAT just tests math and English. And then, of course, the ACT had the science component on it. So math and English is basic, right? So that's why at Best in Class, we don't tutor anything but math and English. So we have to start from elementary school, get them with the basic foundation. And then once they are good at math, they become very interested in exploring other math-related subjects like STEM, computers, physics, and others, engineering.
Yeah, right. That seems to be the overall sentiment, is that parents feel that we're spending too much time on things other than these core subjects like math and reading and English. You have heard from so many exciting franchise brands in a podcast, and you may be sitting there thinking about which ones could be the best fit for you. If this is the case, give us a call. We provide a free consulting service to prospective small business owners like yourself, and we will help you take a disciplined approach to determining which brands could be the best fit for you. Call or text us at 561-277-3710. Or visit www.franosity.com. That's www.franosity.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I just think it goes deeper than that. I think that the left has infiltrated and taken over education and has just completely destroyed and weakened it. And it's proven. It's more about politics today. I mean, the way my son is asked questions in middle school is just bizarre. The way that even the colleges today, my niece, for example, please write a paper on how the Trump election has negatively impacted your life. And she replied with, but it didn't negatively impact my life. That's the assignment.
It's like, that this is so this is bizarre. Not, it's
this
not,
is not
education.
Even education.
Yeah, man. It's indoctrination. It's all politics now. All standards are lowered. We're dumbing down the U.S. society. We're making us dumber. The foods we eat, we have lost our edge on a global platform. Speaking of ChatGPT, I could plug in right now. We went from number one in the world. We're probably ranked in the 20-30 in terms of education now. So,
yeah, you're right. We're ranking pretty low in education, right? If you look at Asia, they have more homework, more basic stuff, more repetitive. If you look at the new map in schools, it confuses students. We have to start from the foundation. Once they have a good foundation, a lot of students came to us like they are behind school, right? After several months, we start to help them build up. Sometimes, Justin and Cliff, it's the confidence. If you are weak at something, you try to avoid it. But if you're good at it, you want to go deeper. Oh, now I'm good at math. What other area can I explore? Can I do calculus? Can I go engineering and all this stuff? Right. But when a kid is not good at math, like they try to stay away the STEM, right? We need STEM, right? It is a STEM education, right? We talk about STEM in the last 5-10 years because we don't have enough people in the STEM education.
How? My son goes to private school and he's taking college calculus. And the teacher starts the year with, I don't want to teach it.
What?
And a lot of you are going to fail. This is how we start. This is a private school. This is how he starts the year out. And I met this guy. I had to meet him because now I got to meet the guy that could say something so irresponsible and right
to the class,
to an entire classroom. So my son is now immediately psyched out, right? Now you just got in his head. You just told him it's hard. You even hate it, right? What's the worst thing to say to a, what's the worst thing a manager could say to an employee? Hey boss, I can't hit my quota. I don't even know how you hit your quota. It's so hard to sell in this environment. Totally agree. Thanks for the permission to fail. So we had to hire a tutor. And the tutor's like, you know, how is the teacher teaching this? And the tutor is like, that's not how you teach AP. This is AP calculus. He's in 11th grade. He's a math whiz, but he's not that good where he doesn't need a tutor. I love anything involving child enrichment. Matter of fact, for the folks listening, we did an episode in January of this year, calling out predictions in, you know, not only franchising a business, but just society kind of predictions as we go through this year. You were one of the things that we predicted is we will need more of services like this. Anything involving the meaningful impact of a child, right? And impacting a child or intervening in a meaningful way in their life, we're bullish on and long. So we love this particular brand. It's broken. It doesn't work. You have a president-elect that wants to get rid of federal involvement in education and turn it back to the state. I mean, you have every standard has been lowered. You have DEI, which is now falling apart because you're hiring people who are not qualified for the roles that they operate in. This is all part of the problem. And now I think you'll see that being fixed. So love what you do. And I agree with Justin. Your background is fascinating. Let's go back to how you got here, right? Because you do have a remarkable background and your book, right? From we're actually writing a book. I thought you were going to ask me what books I'm reading. I'm reading all franchise books right now. We're writing a book about franchising. It's called Beyond the Brand. And I actually love your title, From Bad to Worse to Best in Class, A Refugee Success Story. I think that's cool. Tell us how you got here.
Got here in business, got here in the U.S., right? Where do you want me to start?
Yeah, so let's start with your journey, how you came to the U.S.
Yeah, it started at the very beginning. When I was 7, my father disappeared one day. And then he was in the military, fought alongside the U.S. troop in Vietnam. I was born in Vietnam. My father is Chinese. So he left China when he was 14 years old. And then he just disappeared. So, of course, he's in a war. The North was fighting with the South and the U.S. troop withdrew. He was captured. He was one of the POW. We thought he was dead. So about a year later, I was playing outside the street. Someone tapped my shoulder. You dead? He saw me. I said, no, he's dead. I said, no, he was old. So I rushed home. He was there. Like, I was shocked. He was half at the side. He was in the military. It was pretty big and all that. And then he was in the black. It's like a pajama jail clothes. And then he just touched my hand and said, I'm home, but son, you need to leave. I was 8 years old. I had no idea what that meant. For the next 11 years, I didn't do anything but escape from the country. Back in the old day, you couldn't get a visa and get on the plane and then leave the country. You cannot do that. So he arranged escape for me, one after another. Of course, everything failed, right? It took me 11 years. Anything happened to a refugee happened to me. I was shot at. I almost got killed multiple times. And then I was captured. I was tortured. I did everything but going to school. So I grew up illiterate. Ironically, I run an education franchise. So that's why I will tell you why education is so important. Like Simon Sinek said, people don't buy what you do. They buy why you do it. I'm Chinese. I spoke Cantonese at home, but I didn't read and write Chinese when I was little. I was born in Vietnam. I didn't read and write Vietnamese because I did not go to school. So long story short, I finally made it to the Philippine refugee camp. If you have a copy of my book, it tells you everything. But like, I made it to the Philippine refugee camp when I was 19. I had a dream, like all the kids. Like, my dream was to become a student. So after my book was published, I do a lot of talking. He's like, you want to be a student? People were shocked because here everybody go to school. Everybody was a student from kindergarten to 12th grade. But I did not. I stopped going to school when I was 8 years old. So I just want to be a student, not because I want to be I didn't know what education meant to me at that time. I just want to experience being a student in a school, playing basketball.
Yeah, being a kid. Right. I want my childhood.
Exactly.
Back.
So I learned English at the age of 19. It was hard because in my language, there wasn't present and past tense. You just eat today, you eat tomorrow, and you eat yesterday. But in the English language, I ate yesterday, right? I eat today, we'll eat something tomorrow. It wasn't easy for me, right? So I learned the basic, the grammar, you know, the color and the adjective and noun and all these things. Right? It's fascinating to me. So, and then I stayed in Palawan in a refugee camp for a year. And I went to Prince Rupert in Canada, a very small town, northern BC. If you take the Alaska cruise, you might have to have an excursion there. So I lived there for a few years. So I went to high school there. But at the very beginning, I begged my uncle to take me to high school because I was 20 years old. So I went to high school and the counselor greeted me and I told her that I want to be a student. She asked me, how old are you? I said, I'm 20 years old. He said, I got a good news and a bad news for you, son. He said, the good news is education is free in Canada because I just arrived. I had no idea if it is paid or not. I said, oh, that's good. And she said that, well, the bad news is she handed me a stack of paper. You have to take the language because the government only pays for 1 year schooling. You have to be in 12th grade. I said, sure. I thought 1 year of English, ESL, I know it all. Of course, I failed the test. Couldn't even do 15% of the test because you have to pass the 10th grade English test. So she sent me to Northwest Community College. She said, what? I said, I don't want anything. I want to be a student. I don't know if high school meant anything to me. I just want to be a student. She says, sorry, I can't take you. So I went to Northwest Community College, study ESL for 1 year. Came back, took the same test and passed. So I actually graduated high school at the age of 23. And then I moved on to UBC and finished college at the age of 27. So nobody in my family had a college degree in Canada. I thought that all college degrees are equal, Cliff, Justin, right? So because I did not speak English, I studied math. Because when you study math, you don't need English, right? I wish someone told me to study engineering, you know, computer science, law, or something to be a professional. So I studied 4 years of math, a little bit background. So I met a beautiful woman on a love boat. She spoke four languages. She's very smart. She inspired me to study. And then we got married when I was in school. She was from New York. She moved to Seattle. And then when I graduated college in 1995 in UBC, I moved down to Seattle and tried to get a job. It was funny. I'll tell you a funny story. I applied a job at Boeing. I called them up and I told them that I have a math degree. I thought I can build an airplane with a math degree. First thing they asked me, you have a PhD. I had no idea what that was. What is a PhD, may I ask? And of course, I didn't get the interview, you know? So when you couldn't get a job as an entrepreneur, now I'm going to the meat of the podcast. What do you do? You have no choice. You're in a corner. You're back by the wall. I had no choice but put up a sign. The only thing I could do is math. So I put up a sign and took the math. That's how I started. One person team. I had the license agreement, put up the sign. I had no money to hire an English teacher. Also, 30 years ago, it was so easy to sign a lease. I just came down here. I had no social security number. The landlord doesn't even pull my thing. Was just like $600 for a little office with two tables. Nowadays, right? You have to run tax return and all this stuff. I had no idea what a P&L, income statement, balance sheet. I just wanted to make ends meet, put up a sign and to the map. That's how it started. No social media back then, Cliff. I didn't even know how to promote. I am new kids in town. I graduated in April, drove my pickup truck across the border. The officer gave me a green card back then. It was super easy. And they asked me, they looked at my pickup truck. I had nothing but student loan. I tell you, when I came over, I had a habit. When I was in college, I loved books. I never sell my book. I had meal cartons of books. He said, where are all your stuff? People move. People migrate to the U.S. with truckloads of furniture. I have two duffel bags of clothes and books in my pickup. And then he told me, you have 1 year to bring everything over. I said, officer, this is all I have. I don't have anything right now.
It's already here. It's over.
It's already over.
That's great.
And put a sign in a local Chinese paper. Like I get the cheapest one I can find. And then I put up a sign like tutoring, grand opening. I got half a dozen people show up at grand opening. And that's how I started.
Wait, are you in Seattle now?
1995.
Okay.
I'm in Seattle
all right.
Now.
So that's the established date. On the,
that is the established
right, so
date. 1995.
You hang a shingle. I'm a math tutor.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's been 30 years.
For anyone out there who feels like they can't be successful in business and it's hard to make money in this country because they don't have the skills or all the excuses that we hear, this story is incredible. Like how you took something that most people in America take for granted, education. And you said, because I wasn't educated, all I want to do is learn. And then when it came to making money, you said, how am I going to make money? I'm just going to teach other people the one thing that I know.
That's it.
Can you? Right.
Yep.
There's something to be said, though. When I listen to Hao speak, and while he's speaking, I hear about a half a dozen clients in my head who don't have confidence in themselves, are paralyzed in fear.
If only I had more time. If only I had more money. If only I had more skills.
For all the clients listening, this is the problem though, how when you're standing in Seattle with a box of books and two bags of clothing, you go all in. You have nothing to lose. What happens to us is as you get a little bit of money, you're like, I don't want to lose it. Yeah. You get way too comfortable. Your risk tolerance plummets.
And you overthink a lot of the time, right? You overthink. Like, what if? What if? It's like, hey, I am broke anyway, right? Like, just do it. Just follow your passion. It's what, like, if you know how to make pizza, just have a pizza stand. Whether selling lemonade, selling peanuts, selling whatever. If you read the book, I was selling peanut, right? I just want to make ends meet. That's it. But of course, after 30 years, right, being a one-person team, one location, grew to hiring teacher, growing to 11 location, you know, build the franchise and all that. And I share all my experience with the franchisee. Not only they buy the franchise, and I have my team, my curriculum, my technology, my ad tech, my AI chatbot, they have me. I am personally working with all the franchisee on all level. If you're a beginner, I'll let you know how I did it at the beginning, right? And then I share, if you want to run multi-unit, I will share with you. I've done 11. I know how to do it. Not other concept, but tutoring.
How do you get to best in class? Get me to the brand so we could start digging in on your current concept. When does best in class enter the scene?
About 2011.
Did you create it? Did you acquire it?
Good question. So when I came over, I had nothing. So I bought a licensing agreement. So basically, they sell you the packet and then I teach the kids. So after 10, 11 years, it's called Brain Child Education Center back then. The brand is no longer here. No support, no nothing. Back then, I was paying 40% and not the job. My wife was intelligent. So when I signed the agreement, this is how naive I was. So it's 40% royalty. They didn't call it royalty. They called it licensing fee, right? Like Justin was staring at me, 40%. Are you kidding me? So I just blindly signed because I was super excited about doing something. She said, honey, you are paying 40%. I said, you know, what's the problem? I keep 60.
Wow, that's optimism.
Now,
I don't see the issue here.
What's the problem? I have more than double, right?
That's great.
Now, of course, in 2011, and of course, I couldn't make estimate, and then I renegotiate 35-30%, but still a lot of money if you look at the brand, right? So when I franchised the business, I bought the brand, get rid of the thing, became best in class. It went from 30 to 12 okay. because being a Z on the other side of the table,
you know what it
I
felt
would
like.
Not be
That's
here
right.
today
That's right.
if I were charging 30%. Now, some of my competitors in this field, I couldn't name them, still charging, you know, this kind of money. And they have so many, one of the biggest, you know, tutoring brands, they are charging like 30, 35%. I have no idea why people are still doing it. Right? We charge 12% right.
So can we talk about that, Hal? There are yes. other brands obviously out there doing this. You're a tutoring mm-hmm. brand.
Exactly.
What is your unique edge here, right? How have you designed this business to be unique in what's kind of a competitive industry? There are some big brands out there doing what you do.
Very good. So other brand, if you look at tutoring, is pretty broad. You see, I open a restaurant, right? Restaurant is very competitive. But there are many kind of food, right? Pizza and all this stuff. Similar to best in class. Best in class is three revenue stream. The bread and butter is the enrichment program, like some of our competitor. It's kindergarten to eighth grade. Student come in, it's very affordable. Because of my background, I want best in class to be affordable to the general public. We charge like $150 a month. It's a subscription base. So it's K-12 math and or English, $150 per subject. That's one revenue stream. That's
okay,
the differentiator.
Just pause there. $150 yes. a month. What for? What for? Two times a week, an hour a week.
Once a week.
Once
seven,
a week.
75 minutes each time. They come to us. Teacher will teach them a new topic. They will go home. They have two choices. They can bring a packet home. It is a traditional way before the pandemic way. The like 99.9% of my competitors are doing it, or you can log onto the computer and then you can do the homework at home. We have a chatbot to help with the homework and not doing the homework for you, but help you point you to the right direction if you need help.
So and it's all one-on-one. This is not group.
So in the facility is 1 to 4 or 5 students.
Okay,
it is private tutor.
I'm like, I don't
right?
know how he's making
right.
money doing this.
Yeah.
All right. That is a very low monthly
very
rate.
Very affordable.
And you're giving
yeah.
someone... If I heard you correctly, you said 75 minutes per
75
session.
75 minutes each
right,
time.
Right, per yeah. session.
$150?
Right, I'm paying yeah. that for less than 60
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah, you have a private tutor for your son. It's going to be $60 to $100 an hour. Our second source of revenue is okay. private tutoring. Clips, something like your son who needs help with physics, history, and all that. So it's mainly 1 to 2. One-on-one is great on a consumer side. But it's hard for a business to scale if you do one-on-one. So we recommend franchisee to do 1 to 2 or 1 to 3 for two reasons. Number one, it's more affordable for the consumer. Number two, you really don't need a one-on-one. You teach a kid, they do the stuff, you can teach another student. So it's more affordable. It's like $50 to $70 an hour per person. So it's 1 to 2 so that you can help, you know, scale the business. That's a second source of income, right? Okay.
For the younger students, it's basically math and English. And then as they get older, we'll find a tutor for whatever the need is.
SAT, SAC,
test prep,
ACTs. Yep.
History,
exactly.
It could be anything.
Yeah. So the third source of income, Cliff, you just mentioned, the SAT and ACT, right? So it's one-time deal. So your son probably are preparing for it.
Dealing with it now, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's ranging from $2,000 to $5,000. per course, right? And you look at the business model when you help a prospect to look at something, right? You want something that's recurring. So the bread and butter is the kindergarten, the A grade, because many of them are doing math and English, so $300 a month. The average about 18 to 24 months, the average time that they stay with us.
Really?
So that's
that long?
That long. That's subscription. Now, the private tutoring is shorter, right? Like your son, when he's done with AP Cal, he doesn't need any more because in high school, you don't have anything above. SAT is a one-time deal. When you are done with the 4, 8, or 6 week classes, you are done. But the bread and butter is the recurring revenue model. Student coming, the younger the better. If you have a student coming in a second grader, they're going to stay for a very long time.
Do you know the lifetime value of a customer and the cost to acquire them?
Of course I do, because I've been in business for that many years, right? The lifetime value is about $2,500 to $3,500, right? Depends. Some of them do one subject, some of them do two, right? And then they stay between 18 to 24 months. That's on average. Some students stay for 8 years, some stay little shorter. The customer acquisition cost is about $250 to $500.
Okay.
So you divide, you do the math, it's about what, 20% percentage if done right, right? Because there are many, but the majority of the students are coming through referral. We are not a big brand. We can't afford national advertising like TV and all this stuff, but we do very local focused marketing. Yeah, a few hundred dollars a student. Yeah.
So,
but by the way, per family.
Okay. So is this what the other brands are doing? Like, give me the unique, the differentiators here.
What I was trying to say, the other brand, many of them are focused on the K to 8, right? You probably know the brands start with a K. They are very, very big. They just do K to 8.
Okay.
They don't have a teacher-student ratio. It's open classroom, come and go. We hire college student or someone with a degree to help the kid, right? It's open class. We have a class structure. You come in at 4 o'clock, you'll be done at 5:15. Same teacher every week, very structured, one teacher to 4 or 5 students. The work that we do with problem solving, reading comprehension and all that. Some other brand, when you go there, I'm sure, Cliff, if you send your kid to other competitor when they were younger, it's very repetitive. We don't. We actively teach them. And then other competitor just do math only, for example, one of the brand, right? And other brand, they do private tutoring only, right? If you go to the other brand started with an S, they just do SCT, AC prep and private tutoring. They don't have the flexibility that we do. So my franchise is able to have multiple revenue streams, depend on location, right? In Florida, I mean, we have, her name is Regina, she's an SAT queen, because her SAT revenue is 50%.
Wow.
Of the enrichment. Other people may be like 80%, 20% SAT. So it depends on what market you are in, because we have all three, right? We have the private tutoring. But we encourage everybody to start out with the enrichment, because that's a bread and butter. That is a recurring revenue. It keeps your lights on.
Okay. Give us, I want to, for the listener, where are you located?
Yeah.
Where do you operate?
Brick and mortar.
Is it Class A space? Are you in office space?
Class A, Class B, and also in office space. Many of the city allow us to open a tutoring center in an office space. So the rent will be maybe 20, 30% lower.
Right.
Retail is good. You get the exposure. You get the Starbucks nearby and all that. You got the exposure, but the rent may be slightly higher.
The reason I ask is because your investment range is super low.
It's one of the things I love about these education and tutoring brands, because they don't necessarily need a space. And it's really such a minimal build. It's a box. It's a classroom, right? There's very little equipment.
You are right. It's a box.
These are probably the lowest investment brick and mortar brands you could find in franchising, Cliff. Find a lower investment brick and mortar brand.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and then I see an item 19 that's like nearly a $500,000. That's asymmetrical to me versus most brick and mortar. You're starting your investment at 300 and some of these folks are only doing a $500,000 a year.
Yeah.
And also it's very profitable because you think about a food concept, right? Like you have 32% food cost. For us, it's no food cost. We are service-based.
You're all labor.
No waste.
You're labor.
We are all labor, right? And it depends on where you're at. The rent is between $3,000 and $5,000, depending on where you're at, right? And then after you pay your teacher and your royalty, that's it. Because the rent is the fixed cost. Your fixed cost is just a utility and the rent.
The other thing to mention here, Cliff, and Hal, you could chime in on this.
Yes.
When talking about labor, you know, we talk about how many of these people do we need, and then who are we actually hiring? In this case, they're people who are educated and people who are probably passionate about teaching and giving back to the community and educating the youth. And so they probably make pretty good, solid employees.
And also university student, right? If you are a college student, second, third, fourth year, you want a part-time job, right? People want to be a tutor, right? And then they go to school and then we open after school hours on weekend. It is perfect for them. And also a lot of stay-home mom or dad, right? Their significant others working. They are well-educated. They are homemaker, but they don't want a full-time job. They have a college degree. They come and help out part-time.
Brother do this?
Yes, he did. He did tutoring. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
He's a man.
Many people do tutoring, right? You either serve as a barista or do retail and all this stuff, but you do tutoring and they love it. Oh, by the way, so many of our tutors became teachers because they just want to get a job. It's like, oh, I love teaching. And then they change it, right? They go get a master in teaching and become teachers.
They need the supplemental income too. I mean, that's another problem here. Oh, we are not compensating these teachers to do what they do. And we're not attracting high quality people because of that.
Salary.
They needed the salary. It's a joke.
It's a joke. You're right. But they are passionate about what they do. Unlike the teacher that you mentioned earlier, he's not passionate about this. This thing engraved in your kid's mind, right?
Yeah.
I am fearful that I could be failing because he said so.
That's right.
Right? We need better teacher than him.
You can't say that. These kids are impressionable.
I mean, cannot say that.
They're looking for leadership. They're looking for an education.
Exactly.
I'm looking for an ROI on my investment as the parent. I'm sending you to a private school.
For a reason.
I want to give you an edge. Yeah. And of course, I have a tutor in addition to get him through this AP, which he's doing great. He has an A. So he's a straight A student. He's doing phenomenal right now. So he's thriving in that environment. And you know what? Teacher wants to behave that way. No problem. I'll hedge that risk. And thankfully, there's people like you in the world that we could get involved and say, you know what? Have that attitude, I'm still going to ace your class. What I learned fast forward, just so you understand what this was all about, because I spoke to him. What he was trying to do, and he did it inappropriately, he was trying to thin the herd of the students who are not fully committed to P calculus. So he tried to get in your head. He wanted you to go home within that window of new school year where you could transfer out and just go to honors.
What is this, military school?
So that's what his plan was. And it did, and it worked. A lot of kids are like, whoa.
I'm going
to
leave.
He said, hey, the kids came up to him and said, look, this clearly isn't for me. Can I go into your honors Cal class? Yeah, absolutely. I'll move you. I want kids in this classroom that are committed to this level of math in high school.
But it might not be the right way to do it, right?
I totally agree with you. I don't like what he did. But when he explained it to me, it's like the Navy SEALs. Hey, this is going to be really hard. You're not going to sleep for 48 hours. I'm going to get in your head. I'm going to play music around the clock to sleep deprive you. Hey, can I leave? Absolutely. There's a door. Like, let's just thin the herd before we get into this grueling exercise of Hell Week and the SEAL program, right? It's like, oh, these guys just left.
Yeah.
So again, weird way of doing it. After speaking to him, I get it. He's not a bad guy. I just don't like the tactics that he employed. So let's get back to you.
To the franchise, right? Like many people are looking to buy a business. Like you said earlier, 85 to 50,000. And a lot of people running a business, making money. And a lot of the time people want to do something good, to leave a legacy, right?
Totally. We're all about
best
that.
Best in class. It is.
We love
because you are educating the next generation. I've been doing this for 30 years. I'm still in contact with some of the students. I even teach their children and all that. And I'm a good friend with them because you are helping your community. You are helping our next generation. So there are a lot of people, they are very passionate about leaving a legacy and yet make money.
Yeah, totally.
They're very proud of it.
Just for the audience, tutoring is a $200 billion industry. This is not a small market cap. This is a massive, it's expected to grow over $200 billion by 2026. If you just talk about child enrichment, you're looking at, you know, $23, $24 billion. Tutoring's big. And that's why there's, as Justin said at the top of the call, you know, there's a lot of people in this space. What makes you different? What I'm hearing right now, we have a super low investment. I like who you're hiring. Let's say you have 10 part-time people, college students, former retired educators, people who have the background, the criminal credit, sexual offender checks, people who are legally able to, you know, work with young people, and we don't have any compromising issues because that's always a problem.
Yeah, so it's not very difficult to hire a tutor.
Absolutely, right. Investment level is very low. Your Class A, Class B space average, what's the item? The item 19 that I found was 2023. What is your item 19 in your current FDD?
I think the Hyatt is close to $500,000. And then And it's, like I said, it's very profitable. Now, let's do a quick math here. If you are charging $150 a month, right? Four classes, you divide it by four, right? 75 divided by 3750 per student. But you multiply that by four, five, or six. The maximum class size is six. Many of them do four or five. You're talking about $150 to $200 income for that time slot, 75 minutes.
In that week. That one visit.
Right.
I've got a 4-to-1 ratio.
Exactly.
Right? How income. Is it? Right. Exactly. So go back to the payment to the employee.
Repeat the payment
to the employee.
Yeah, depending on where you are, right? If you're in Florida, Texas, teacher costs between, I say, 15, right? So you do the math, right? The bottom, if your total, $150, $200, you're talking about less than 20% labor costs.
Your territories were, I love it. You had me at low investment, high return, asymmetrical investment with a, I mean, we're complaining that the schools suck, but it's an opportunity for being in the tutoring business. Hey, investors, hey, entrepreneurs, you really want the school system to improve? No need for a tutor. That goes $200 billion. So we got to be careful what we wish for as capitalists here. I mean, I do want the schools to be good, and I think there should always be a need for tutoring.
There will always be a need for, their people will want their kids to excel.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Some of the students are doing well, parents want them to be in a gifted program. Like your son,
a rising
right?
tide raises all ships, right? Exactly. All the kids start getting smarter. It's going to be harder to get into colleges. I would love to see that.
Yeah. AP, it's already doing AP Cal in 11th grade instead of 12, right? It's already a year advanced. Now, going back to your territory question, unlike some of my competitors, that's no territory. We give a territory to our franchisee. So we have the number of students, 15 to 18,000 students, K-12 within that. But you know that if you look at Florida, Texas, and all that, there are more people coming in, right? So the people who bought the territory 10 years ago, now the number of students probably doubled, but we never resize it. But it is what it is.
You made a comment in writing on the IFPG site, and it said, many territories available throughout the U.S., and specifically Texas, Florida, and the Carolinas are top choices. Why?
Yeah, you look at Texas and Florida, right? It's basically like a whole country, right? If you look at Texas, you have Houston, Austin, Dallas. It's so big, right? Like California, it's the same. But unfortunately, California, Washington, it is difficult to do business, right? I give you an example. If we signed a lease in Texas, we're up in business within 2 months. We signed a lead at the beginning of the year in California, one of the cities in California. We haven't gone an occupation permit. This is December, my friend. We've been paying $4,000 rent for the last 10 months. Do they even care? No, they don't.
Mr. Newsom.
Ridiculous.
Gotta love them.
You gotta love them. I have a 1,000 square feet in California in Union City. They forced us to put two handicap accessible bathrooms in a 1,000 square foot office.
Unreal.
It was unbelievable.
And for all those issues that California has, we love being in Florida, right? And we are so proud to be here and we brag about the lifestyle and we don't have all those regulatory issues. The one thing that sucks in Florida is education. It does, right? So like, I just think that there's probably huge demand. It's easier to get these things open in Florida, and there's going to be huge demand in these states for tutoring services.
Yeah.
So one thing that's lacking.
It's quicker. It's more business friendly for franchisee to get it up and running. And then that's the demand, right? Like in Florida, like you said, student need help.
Talk to me about why this is somewhat, what are the hours of operation? Is this a 7 day a week model?
Not exactly. At the very beginning, we only encourage franchise to open because you want to control your variable cost, right? The more student you have, the more teacher you need, and the more day you open. Unlike a restaurant, you have to open like 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. No, it's very controllable. You only need to open 2 or 3 days so that you give parent choices. You only need maybe 2 teachers, 1 math and 1 English to begin with. You open 4 hours, you have 3 classes. So she can take care of 15 students in math. He can take care of 15 students in English. You can have 30 students in 1 day. And then you open 2 days, you can occupy 60 students. It is super, super easy. Now, daytime is when you do the admin work, when you do the marketing, when you do the social media posting, when you go out and go into the Rotary Club or BNI Club or whatever to help you grow your business.
Okay. So right now, everyone, I don't care what business it is, everyone wants technology to throttle the appointment, to cancel within the proper window, to not be charged the fee, right? Everyone wants that Amazon kind of experience. Is there an app? What tech do you have? Scheduling tools? How do you maximize efficiencies in the business?
Thanks to pandemic, because we were pencil and paper, we were spreadsheet and all this stuff before the pandemic. But because of the pandemic, we had to shut down all location within 2 weeks. What are we going to do? Online. And then we start to build tools to help the teacher, the students, the parents, you know, the administration. So the technology that we build is twofold. Number one, the operational efficiency. How do you send out batch invoices? How do students reschedule without calling you, right? They are able to do that online. Now let's talk about parent and student, right? Before, it was the packet. After 1 week, you turn it in, they grade it, you give it back to them. What if my kid cannot do the homework at home? When they can log in with the technology, they are able to get help. They are able to answer the question. They are able to enter the answer and got an immediately result. They basically come back next week without turning in the homework because they already did the homework online. So we invest a lot of money in the last 3 years in the technology to help with the twofold, the user experience, right? The differentiator, and also the operational efficiency for the franchisee. It's twofold. Training, right? Database, everything is in there.
We're coming up on the hour. This was great. We got a lot. We got the employee count. We got your location, average length of stay, cost to acquire, how you build, technology, where you're located, hours of operation, lifestyle. We got a lot out of the brand. You made a really bold statement, which is the double-double. Do you think you have a clear plan, an executable plan to do that? That's a big, lofty goal, man.
Yes. I think like my team, we focus on helping the franchisee. Without the franchisee, we wouldn't be here today, right? So day in and day out, we're supporting the franchisee, help them acquire customer, the top line, help them look at the efficiency. You have a core value. It's peace, positive. The last word is efficient. Regardless of your top line, if you're not running your business efficiently, you're not making money. So we're helping them to bring in more revenue, teachers to student ratio. You can't put 10 students in a class because they won't learn, right? 1-to-1 is not scalable, but it's a different pricing. So what is the optimal point, right? When do you want to open an extra day? So we work very closely with the franchisee. Now I work with one-on-one to help them build. Everybody have 45 minutes to an hour with me before the end of the year to build their next year's goal, the 3-year goal, and the 10-year goal. Where do you want to be next year? How do you get there, right? It's incremental. Do you want 5 students a week or 5 students a month? Let's talk about it. How do you do it? Social media, event, and all this stuff. We have the roadmap. We call it LGAP, Lead Generation Action Plan. There are 20 items you can do, but nobody have unlimited marketing resources. Let's do 2 or 3. If it works, we double down. If it doesn't work, we do different things. Right? Jim Collins said, right? Just fight some bullet first, right? Instead of, you know, doing the cannonball. Just test the water before you go all in. So we hold their hand. We help them with the business. And also the skill set and mindset, we do both, right? Skill set is what you need to run the business. How about the mindset? Where do you want to be 3 years from now? 10 years from now? What kind of lifestyle do you want? Do you want to have 10 locations, have a manager? Or you want to roll up your sleeve and be with the teacher and students? Some of the franchisees love it. They are very successful. They are doing 500,000 with one location. It's perfectly fine.
So how you're currently at 45 locations. So the double would put you at 100 locations in 5 years.
Yep.
How many of these franchisees are multi-unit owners and how many only own a single?
Great. Right now we have 6 location multi-unit owner. Yeah, about 20% right now.
Excellent.
This was great. Justin, that's all I have. We're on the hour, like literally right on the money. This was excellent. You sharing your personal journey coming to this country with, let's say, nothing at a very young age, not even understanding the language. I mean, the deck was stacked against you. I think your story is remarkable. You're inspiring to many. And I like your model. I like anything.
Thank you really. So much.
Legacy. Yeah, legacy, giving back to our kids. I think it's great. Thank you so much, Hal.
I agree.
Thank you for the
opportunity.
Thanks
for coming on, Hal. Any parting words for the audience?
Follow your dream and passion, right? Do something you're passionate about and then just go all in. Don't look back.
Go all in.
Go all in.
That's it.
Thanks for coming on, Hal.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much.
Love what you hear on the Pursuit of Profit podcast? Show your support by subscribing, rating, and leaving a review. Thank you for being a part of our journey.